testing. Welcome to Lectionary Lunch. This week's Old Testament lesson is Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 to 10, but we will omit verses 4 and 7, which are largely just a list of names. We begin with verse 1. Vayasfu kol ha'am ka'ish echad la el rachov asher lifnei sha'ar hamayim. And all the people gathered, here a niphal from Asaf, to gather or to assemble. Word is usually commonly found in the niphal in this way. All the people gathered ka'ish echad, as one man. El Rechov Asher Lifnei Sha'ar Hamayim. To the Rechov is a plaza, a public square, an open space. We'll translate it square or plaza. So they gathered as one to the plaza, which is Lifnei Sha'ar Hamayim, which is opposite or in front of or before the water gate, Sha'ar Hamayim. The verse continues, Vayomru la Ezra ha-sefer, and they said to Ezra the scribe, Lehabi el sefer ha-Torah Moshe. They said to him, to bring out, here an infinitive construct in the hifil from the root bow, to bring the scroll of the Torah of Moses, asher tziva Yahweh, Israel, which Yahweh had commanded Israel, we would probably say to Israel, although the preposition to is not technically in the Hebrew text. Verse 2, Vayavi Ezra ha-Kohen eth ha-Torah lifnei ha-Kahal, and Ezra brought, here hifil of bow, he brought, and here we have Ezra ha-Kohen, Ezra the priest. This is contrasted with Ezra the scribe in the previous verse. So notice he's given a different title here, although there is clearly some overlap between the priestly office and the scribal office in the post-exilic period. But that's a question beyond our ability to treat in this short segment. Anyway, he brought out the Torah, lifnei ha-kahal, before the assembly. And now we get a phrase describing the assembly. Me'ish wa'ad isha wa'kal me'bi lishmoa. He brought out to the assembly from a man unto a woman and all the ones who are understanding by hearing. Here, the question is, are we talking about three groups, or is this last phrase, all the ones who are able to understand by hearing, refer to men and women? Well, since men and women are kind of inclusive of everybody, probably here it's not to understand some third group, but rather those men and women who are able to understand by hearing. Bayom Echad Lachodesh Hashavi'i, on the first day of the seventh month, we're told when this occurs. Now, verse 3. Vayikra bo lifnei harachov, and he kara, literally to cry out, but this word simply means to read out loud. Here the object is marked with the preposition beth. Sometimes this idiom means to define something, as in to define a term. But here, in this context, simply to read it out loud. And so we would say he read it aloud, lifnei harachov asher lifnei sha'ar hamayim, before the plaza, which was before the water gate, min ha'or ad mahakzith hayom. From the light unto the midpoint of the day. So from the light would mean from dawn, from the rising of the sun, something like that, until the midpoint of the day, until midday we would probably translate. Neged ha'anashim, wa'hanashim, wa'hamab Mibinim, before the men and the women and the ones who are understanding, referring back before to those who are able to understand by hearing. Wa'oznei kol ha'am el sefer ha'torah, and the ears of all the people. Now here we have a clause that does not have a verb in it, so we have to supply the form of the verb to be, and we would do that before the preposition el. So the ears of all the people were to the scroll of the Torah. In other words, they were paying attention. They were listening to the scroll of the Torah as it was being read. Now, verse 4, we're going to skip. It simply says that Ezra stood on a wooden platform and gives a list of the people who were standing there with him on his right hand and his left hand. So it's largely just a list of names. So we pick up the translation in verse 5. Vayiftach Ezra hasafer le'enei kol ha'am, ki me'al kol ha'am haya wa pitcho amdu kol ha'am. And Ezra opened the scroll le'enei kol ha'am, before the eyes of the people, we might translate in the sight of the people. Ki ma'al kol ha'am haya, because he was me'al. Remember, Hebrew likes these compound prepositions here when you're talking about relationships, physical relationships of things. So me'al, he was from above, simply means he was above. He was above all the people. Remember, verse 5, he was standing on a wooden platform. So he was above all the people. Why kapitcho? Here we have an infinitive construct from pathach, to open. Same word, same verb that we have at the beginning of the verse. Here with a kaf preposition on the front. Now normally we encounter this construction, infinitive construct, used in a temporal sense. More commonly it has a baith on the front, but a kaf is certainly not unknown, and we have one here. We might translate it as he opened it, or when he opened it, but the kaf perhaps implying something like at the same time that he opened it, not after. And so infinitive construct, kol infinitive construct from pathach, meaning to open, with a kaf preposition on the front and an object suffix on the end. Kapitcho. As he opened it, amdu kol ha'am, the people all stood. All the people stood. Verse 6. Vayavrech Ezra eth Yahweh Elohim Hagadol. And Ezra blessed Yahweh, the great God. Nothing to delay us there in terms of translation. Vaya'anu kol ha'am, amen, amen, bim'ol yadekim. And all the people, kol ha'am, answered, vaya'anu, here simply a call imperfect from ana, while consecutive imperfect, they answered. And then amen, amen, verily, verily, truly, truly, something like that, or perhaps one would just leave it untranslated, amen, amen. In some context, b'ma'ol yadehim, literally in the lifting up of their hands. They said amen, amen, as they lifted up their hands, here, this is a mo'al, literally a noun, the lifting up, not a verb form. So in the lifting up of their hands, why yikdu, here, while consecutive, call imperfect, third masculine plural. The root is kadad. It's a geminate root with two daleths, kof daleth daleth. And oftentimes geminate roots look like first nun roots, and this one fits that behavior pattern with the dagish in the kof. But the dagish in this case indicates, if you will, the assimilated daleth, not assimilated nun. Technically, that's questionable, but it's the easiest way to remember it in this case. Vayikdu, So he lifted up their hands, they bowed down, Vayishtachvu, and they worshipped. This root, hishtafel, from the root chawa, which means to do obeisance, to bow down on one's knees and touch one's forehead to the ground. And it's a very, very common Old Testament word, simply meaning, in most contexts, when used of God, often just translated worship. And the object follows la Yahweh. They worship the Lord. Afim Erza. And here we have an adverbial phrase, Afim Erza, af the nose, the noses, we would say their noses, Erza, ground word. Here we have Eretz plus the hey directive, implying motion towards something, in this case, motion toward the ground. So the whole verse, Ezra blessed Yahweh, the great God, and all the people answered, saying, verily, verily, or truly, truly, amen, amen. In the lifting up of their hands, with the lifting up of their hands, that is at the same time they said, amen, amen. And then they kneeled and did obeisance or worshiped the Lord with their noses touching the ground or to the ground. Verse 7 also we're going to skip, and again, this is largely just a list of names of the people who were helping Moses and also the Levites who were helping the people to understand. And now we come to verse 8, which is really a very interesting verse in the Old Testament. It's usually cited as the first evidence of the tradition of producing Targums later on. Targum, of course, is a Aramaic translation of the Old Testament with commentary. And presumably that's what we have here. Let's read the text here. Vayikra'u b'sefer ha-Torah Elohim. And they read aloud the scroll of the Torah of God. Miporash v'som sekel. This is the phrase that's most interesting. Miporash here, we have a pu'al passive, pu'al participle. It's passive because the pu'al is passive, but here's a pu'al participle from parash, which means to make distinctive or to explain. Many translators or many commentators would translate this something like in translating. They're making it plain for people whose native language is Aramaic, not Hebrew. And then the next phrase, wasom sekel, here som is a call infinitive construct, which means to put or place, from seem, the common verb seem, to put or place. And sekel is a noun which means insight or understanding. And so they were explaining or perhaps translating and giving or putting or putting the meaning. They were giving the meaning. So probably here what they're doing is translating and interpreting as they go so that the people will understand. And it suggests to us that the people of the post-exilic period didn't understand many of the customs and words and terms of the text, which comes from the patriarchal period and the period of the Exodus. So it required not only translating but explaining. Then the text continues here at the end of verse 8, Vayabinu b'mikra, so that, here the wow implies the result, Vayabinu, so that they might understand, bikra, here the object marked with a beth again, might understand what was read or the reading, something like that, mikra, reading in this case. Now, verse 9, Vayomer necheh, Nehemiah, who Hatir Shata, there we have a title, Nehemiah, that is to say, he who was the Hatir Shata. This is a technical term, a Persian term. It's a loan word. It's not a native Hebrew word. It means something like the governor, ruler under the king of this particular province. So governor is probably the best translation that we have for this term, Tishratha. So Nehemiah, who was governor, Ezra HaKohen and Ezra the priest. We've had Ezra called a scribe twice and a priest twice in this lesson. HaSofer, the scribe. Here we have the scribe and priest, the priest and the scribe together in this. This is the only place in this passage where we get both terms together. We've had them separately before. Wahaluim and the Levites, Ha-mabinim, the ones who are making understood, Ethayam, the people. Here Nehemiah, who was governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who were helping the people understand. Lakol ha'am hayom, he said, first word in the verse, Nehemiah and Ezra and the Levites said to all the people, Hayom kodesh hu layahweh, Elohekim. The day, meaning this day or today, it is holy to Yahweh your God. So today is holy to Yahweh your God. Al tithavlu, here tithavlu, a hithpael, imperfect from aval, usually meaning to mourn or to be sad. So do not mourn. Wa'al tithbaku, do not weep. Ki bokim kal ha'am, because, and the reason he said this, the explanation is introduced by the key clause here, because all the people were weeping. Bokim, call participle from baka, third hey, to weep. He said it because all the people were weeping. Kish ma'am, here again, temporal infinitive construct, this case with a suffix on the end, as they were hearing, so when they heard, et divrei ha-Torah, the words of the Torah. And so Nehemiah, the governor, and Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and all the and the Levites who were teaching the people, said to all the people, today is a holy day to Yahweh, your God. Do not mourn and do not weep. And they said it because the people were weeping when, as they heard the words of the Torah. And now our last verse, verse 10, Vayomer lahem luku, and he said to them, go, iklu, eat mashmanim. Here, this word mashmanim, it means something like rich food, rich dishes of food. It comes from the word, the root that means to be fat, but rich dishes here, fancy dishes. Washithu and drink, imperative, second, obviously all imperatives are second person. I meant to say a plural, a masculine plural, and drink. Mamtakim, sweet things or sweet drinks, probably in this case sweet wine is what is intended here. So he said to them, go eat fancy food and drink sweet wine. Washilku manoth la'ein nakonlo. Shalak to take, imperative to take, and take manoth, take a portion, la'ein nachon, to the one who there is not established or prepared. So in other words, to the one who doesn't have anything prepared. Take a portion to the one who doesn't have anything prepared. Ki kadosh hayom la'adonenu, because it is a holy day to our master, our Adon. Wa'al tetsa tsevu ki chedvath Yahweh hi ma'oz kim. And do not, atsevu nifal imperfect from atsav, do not be worried or do not be sad, something like that. Do not grieve, atzav, because kedvath Yahweh hi ba'uz kim, because the kedvah, the joy of Yahweh, it is your strength. because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Okay, well, just a word about preaching this text before we wrap up our quick look at it. In this passage, the people rejoice and weep with emotion when they hear the word of God read. They had been deprived of the word for so long that when they heard the word of God read aloud for the first time, they wept passionately for what they were receiving. And Nehemiah and the leaders tell them not to weep, but to rejoice at the hearing of God's word. Often the scripture teaches us to rejoice at the hearing of God's word. Now, why do we rejoice? Not just because we know what we are to do. Indeed, while God's word teaches us how we are to live, it teaches us something far more important, namely that Christ has kept the whole law for us and on our behalf. And we rejoice when we hear God's word, not because we know something, but because that word points us to Christ, who has saved us, who became one of us when he was born a man and suffered and died so that we might be liberated from the burden of having to keep the whole law perfectly in an attempt to please God, an attempt which would always be vain and failed because of our sinfulness. So we rejoice when we hear God's word, not because of the burden that it lays upon us, but because of the freedom that it teaches us, that in Christ we are at peace with God and free in Christ because of the salvation which he has accomplished for us. And that is indeed reason for rejoicing. Thank you for joining us for this look at the Old Testament lesson, Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 to 10, in this week's lectionary at lunch.